5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at wholeshow.com. CU going to beat TCU on Saturday morning. We're going to have that game for you here on KFKA as well. So give it a listen. If you're driving around doing stuff, whatever, we've got you covered on KFKA. We're going to have a lot of great college football games on the station, along with our coverage of the NFL, courtesy of Westwood One and Compass Media. The vote is interesting right now. Still a lot of Buffs fans out there, my guess. I can't imagine a lot of people that aren't Buffs fans are picking CU to win against TCU. I can't imagine that. I know we're going to try to get CBS Sports Randy Cross on the program tomorrow. He kind of made some waves last week by saying he thinks the Buffs are going to start the season off with a bang and beat TCU. I don't know that a lot of national guys are saying that. So go vote. Let me know what you think. Right now it's almost 70%. So it just keeps kind of rising. And well, now 65%. So it's moving around a little bit. But I want your thoughts on this. I want to see where this vote ends up by the end of the day. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Angel, I don't know if you've been seeing Nikola Jokic in the videos of him. And is Aaron Gordon like live in Serbia now? In Sombor there with Joker? He's been there for like a month. They're just like on the street, on the road the other day. Joker's clearly lit up, man. He had a few. And people are just capturing videos of him and now posting it. Joker's partying it up. He's had a good time like this summer.
Walking around Sombor at 2 in the morning, just hanging out with your friend. And he's just doing Jokic stuff.
Joker and Gordon have become like this, man. Like, they're tight. They're good friends now, it seems like. I mean, Gordon, I thought, was just going to go for like the weekend or something. But we've seen a video 2 weeks ago, and then a video just came out like 3 days ago, and Gordon's still there with Joker.
I mean, we learned how much of a team guy Aaron Gordon is, you know, scheduling practices in the offseason at his little warehouse over there and, you know, working with team. He's talked about his development as a player with the Nuggets just in the last few years, and how he's changed. And I just love this culture that they have put together over there.
Any problems with seeing Joker out and about?
Nah.
I don't think so.
He's having fun.
We've already heard.
He's more than earned it.
We've already heard that, you know, Michael Porter Jr. even said it. The guy will drink beer and not work out at all. And then 2 weeks before the preseason, he's like training and he's ready to go. No, so we already know that's kind of his pattern.
If you know, they got bounced in the playoffs last year, I'd be, you know, hey, I wish you were.
You would have a problem with it?
But no, you earned it. Two-time MVP, world champ. Go have fun. Go win some horse races.
I'm just going to say, when I saw the most recent video, my brain for a second went there. For like a second. Like,
stop that.
Is it too much? Is it too much or is it?
He's just away from it for now. And when he gets back into it, he'll get back into it. Be ready to go.
You know me. I'm the last guy to say many negative things about the Nikola Jokic. But
this man loves basketball. He's...
Does he love basketball?
I think so. I don't think he would do it.
I think he's just good at it.
Yeah, he's good, but I think you got to have a certain love for it. I think he enjoys playing basketball.
I think he enjoys it.
He likes the way that he plays, and he likes the teammates around him that help him play the way he wants to. And he's got a coach that loves him and a fan base that has been there for him since he got here. So, yeah, throw a couple back.
I bet
buy another horse.
He's probably drank all the alcohol in Serbia.
No, they're in a drought right now.
I mean, he's a big dude. He needs more.
You've seen his brothers?
Yeah, they probably are with him. I haven't seen any of them in the videos, have you?
They're like the bodyguards off to the side.
They're just hanging out. Yeah. Gordon's like loving it, man. Think about like Gordon being there. The language barrier.
Word of what they're saying. And
just, yeah.
I'm just here for a good time.
And Joker.
He was at the Great Wall of China yesterday.
Okay, so he's gone.
Yeah.
He left. He's touring.
Like a Euro tour type
cool.
of thing. He's advertising his new shoe out. So he was walking around the...
So he's got a new shoe.
He does have a shoe. It's a new colorway.
You know where I'm going with this. Where's the primetime shoe? Where's the Buff shoe for Aaron Gordon? Why are we doing that? We did it for LeBron. And everybody got mad at me that I thought it was not a great look, and I said yikes on Twitter. Tanner lost his mind.
LeBron and Deion are just in that upper echelon of recognizable sports
famous
figures
sports guys
that are just, they all seem to be best friends with each other, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be upset that the Nuggets aren't associated with Prime, though.
I'm not, like, in either or upset. I'm just, I always like it when I see a cross promotion.
Sure.
Was Prime Time at the Rockies game? Did I see that last? I was watching the Rockies game.
Last night?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, I thought they were randomly talking about him, and then they said it's great to see Prime Time. And then I looked up, and they'd already switched the camera, and then I think there was a base hit or something, and they just kind of moved on. But I didn't see it. I just was like, did I miss something here? And then I was too lazy to go rewind it.
Probably got better things to do than go down to Denver and watch the Rockies.
They're probably leaving tomorrow, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I heard Texas Tech was already in Wyoming.
Oh.
Trying to, the altitude thing, you know, they're trying to get used to it. I'm curious how that game's going to go, too. But my thought on Joker and the camaraderie that you see with this team. Now, I know they won the title, so there's little to complain about, but even before they won the title, for the last 5 years, you didn't have a lot of these riff stories. You didn't have any of these stories. In the summer, you didn't have disgruntled superstar. Well, I signed, they better deliver. They got to build a team around me. You didn't hear any of that stuff.
From guys that you might expect it from.
Is that Michael Malone?
I think so.
Is he that good of a coach?
I think it's Malone. I also think it's Jokic and just the way he leads by example.
And these players just...
No, that guy is the best basketball player in the world, and he's not complaining about money. He's not complaining about his teammates.
Well,
he
doesn't have to complain about money
sure.
anymore. But he's not complaining about losing. You know, he talks about it. If they lose, they lose. He talks about it, but he's not overjoyous when they win, and he's not end of the world when they lose. He's a team-first guy. He practices what he preaches. And I think that you're right. I think young players on this team, or even like Jamal Murray, looks at that and goes, that's how you want to be. That's
the guy.
And Jamal
can take that and be Jamal, and he brings that energy and that fire, and then Aaron Gordon brings that physicality, and then Michael brings that just shot of just exuberance from him. And
but you never had Michael Porter Jr. get up and say, I'm not getting the ball enough.
Mm-mm.
You never had DeAndre Jordan, who was not really outspoken, but was a pretty popular player in his prime. He didn't make a stink about, they got rid of Cousins. You know, that he was there for a cup of coffee, and I think they saw the writing on the wall, and they're like, this could fracture what we're building here. We needed him for a second. We thought Malone could control him, but it's probably going to fracture this locker room.
I think that speaks to Malone's ability to, it doesn't matter what age or experience you are, if you're Boogie Cousins, if you're Bones Highland, if you're not with us, you're out of here.
Well, and that's why the Bones Highland thing was so significant. A fine player, I don't know what he'll end up doing in his career, but I would say his trajectory was looking pretty good while he was with the Nuggets, but they looked at it and said, you're toxic.
The teammates seemed to like him for the most part.
Yeah, Jamal
didn't. For a while they did.
Yeah, for a bit. But then I think he got a little bit of an attitude. I don't think he and Jamal Murray got along. And I think what they did was they cut that out of there. And they just said, you know what? We like Bones. The future might be bright for you. But you have a toxic attitude right now that could potentially bring players down. And we're not going to do that. So they've been very careful. Both, you know, obviously Tim Connelly back in the day and then Calvin Booth now, but with Michael Malone, they were very careful when they constructed this roster to construct it. I mean, I know it sounds, you know, mushy, but a family. It's a group that really cares about each other. And you're right. It starts with Malone and Joker's relationship. We all know about Malone and Jamal Murray's relationship, about Jamal Murray crying, you know, kind of crying to Malone saying, are you guys going to trade me now that I got hurt? And Malone's like, no, man, you're ours. You ain't going anywhere. You're ours. I mean, that stuff is rare in this day and age. We just don't see it like that. So I wonder, Angel, are we going to start, can the Nuggets change the culture of the NBA? The Spurs tried to, but it just didn't work. They won championships, but you didn't see a lot of teams trying to duplicate what they did. Can the Nuggets change that culture?
Kobe showed up.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
Kobe and then LeBron showed up, and it kind of just like, oh, my gosh.
Well, LeBron, and even before that, it was like the Boston thing. You know, Kevin Garnett gets together with Pierce, and and Ray Allen and Rondo, and they form the super team, and then LeBron does it, and then it just starts to become free agency frenzy in the NBA, and guys just jumping around. Now we're hearing guys at an all-time high. I mean, whether it's Joel Embiid or James Harden, or now it's Giannis saying stuff, they're all saying things like, I'm not loyal to this team unless they prove to me that they're good, that they're building around me, or James Harden throwing his owner completely under the bus.
Who's the only other team that's really shown a commitment to their players and it's breeded results?
I would imagine that's Golden State, right?
Exactly.
And I've drawn a lot of comparisons between those two franchises over the last 6 or 7 years. Because we're gonna do it through the draft. We're gonna build up with these guys. We're gonna cut the cancers out of our locker room, which was Jordan Poole, and we're gonna commit to our core, and that's what the Nuggets did. And those are probably going to be the two of the top team. Well, Golden State's obviously they're getting older, and we'll see how Steve Kerr and company handles that with these guys aging. You know, Draymond Green doesn't have that many years left. But I'll be curious to see it. 17 minutes after the hour. I love it. I can't wait to watch. I mean, I know we're knee-deep in football. We're getting ready to be anyway.
I was just telling you, like, I just miss seeing the guys together. And
just like miss going like, home going, oh, there's 6:30. The Nuggets and the Jazz are playing. And
well, Jokic's going to get triple-double tonight.
See triple-double watch.
20, and MPJ's going to hit a couple threes.
Yeah, Gordon's going to get a lot of monster dunks. I do miss it. It's not that far away. We'll get there. Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com, going to join us. We'll talk a little Wyoming Cowboys football with Cody coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
21 minutes after the hour. We need to get Cody to record a rejoin for us. Cody, can we get you to do that, man? That would be great. Getting that, you know, that deep Wyoming voice coming in on the whole show all the time when we're chiming in on segments. What do you think about that?
Boy, you know, I think you gave me that task about a year ago. And, you know, I've been clogging my brain with Coors Original, Copenhagen, and heavy metal music, and never good.
Hey, how was Pantera last week, man?
Oh, it was amazing. I'm hammering them right now. They sounded great, man. Zach Wild really stepped in for Dimebag Darrell, and it was awesome. And they did so many awesome tributes to the brothers and stuff. It was great, man. I was a geek. I was a kid in a candy store, minus the $15 beers. It was all good.
And Zach Wild, dude. I'm a huge Wild fan. So having him mix in with Pantera, my goodness, that's amazing.
It was good. I think I got Alex Taylor, my fellow colleague here who covers the Cowboys in Cheyenne. I took him. He'd never even been to a concert before. He said something like Wiz Khalifa or something he's been to. I don't even know who that chick is. But
I don't know what that is either.
Give me Pantera and Lamb of God all day.
Did you see, you know, your friend, arch nemesis slash friend Kyle Bell there too?
I sure did. We met up out front, and I feel kind of bad, Brady. You would love this. Some guy came up to him and said, "Hey, are you Brian Bell?" And he said, "No, Kyle." And he goes, "Oh, that's right." He's like, "I'm a huge fan." And he said, "Oh, you must have heard us talking football." And he said, "No, I'm just a huge CSU fan." And his name was Frank. And I said, "Why don't you kick rocks, Frank?" And, you know, just joking. And I said, "That has to happen to you all the time, Brian." And he said, "Actually, that never happens to me." So I ruined his moment. I still feel sorry about that.
Leave it to a Wyoming guy. Kyle Bell finally gets this moment of someone coming up to him like, "Dude, I know you." And then you just, like, shatter it.
Ruined it. Yep, absolutely ruined it.
I always was curious how you two got to be friends. You're supposed to be enemies.
Honestly, I think it's the heavy metal thing, man. Yeah. He knows good music, and he can actually play it. He's talented.
I know.
Man, that dude looks like a CrossFit weightlifter nut.
Here you and I are like, "Let's have a beer sometime," and he's like, "I don't touch the stuff." I'm like, "Oh, my God, man, come on."
Yeah, I don't get it, but hey, maybe that's why he gets the chicks and probably has an awesome job and makes all kinds of money. And does cool stuff.
Was a great Division One running back. I mean, come on, man. We're doing fine, Cody. We're doing just fine, man.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, Wyoming this week. Okay, so did I read somewhere? Is Texas Tech, are they already there, Cody?
Actually, they're going to be in your guys' neck of the woods. They were supposed to be up at Cheyenne East High School and working out on Friday, but they're going to stop and stay in Fort Collins, unfortunately. And they're going to be working out at a high school somewhere in your guys' area. So, they're coming up a day early. They think that that's going to help with the altitude, I guess, which I'm not a scientist by any stretch, so I have no idea. But they do play in Provo later this year against their new Big 12 rival, BYU. So I think they're coming up here to kind of get a taste of it and see what they're looking at.
Well, what do we think of this Red Raiders team? You know, when you get obviously a pretty solid football team a season ago, this is going to be a tall task for the Cowboys. But let's look at their offensive side of the ball, Cody, because I think anytime we look at Wyoming, we're thinking, okay, the defense is going to be good. What are the challenges, the struggles that the Cowboys should be ready for coming up against Texas Tech this weekend?
Well, I tell you what, Brady, I just wrote a story about how Texas Tech went for it on fourth down 52 times last year.
Wow.
Compared to just 7 for the Wyoming Cowboys and their conservative head coach. But they converted 33 of those. They're really aggressive. Tyler Shuck, their you know, all-world 20th-year quarterback, he's really solid. And they're 8-0 in games that he starts and finishes. The problem is he hasn't finished a lot of those because of shoulder injuries and collarbone injuries. But he's a really good quarterback. And, you know, they only have 5 receivers that have 30-plus catches. And then they went ahead and added a kid in the offseason from Austin Peay who had 75 catches for more than 1,000 yards last year. So they needed that like a hole in the head. Not to mention their running back has 27 receptions and a touchdown as well. So they're just, you know, they line them up, spread them out, and they have a million weapons. And, you know, my colleague Jared Newland, he pointed out that there are no first-teamers on the preseason lists for Texas Tech as far as Big 12 goes. But I kind of look at that as a positive for the Red Raiders. They're good everywhere. They don't just have one dude. They take care of business across the board. And, you know, it all starts up front, and they have 10. They're 10 deep up front, and 9 of those guys have started a college football game. So they're going to be salty. They snapped the ball with, you know, more than 30 seconds still remaining on the play clock. So they move really fast. And that's unbelievable to me, Brady, when you talk about 52 times they go for it on fourth down.
That's
they don't
crazy.
Even take time to think about it. They just go and go and go. So Craig Bolt looks at it as a golden opportunity that, hey, you want to go that much? You know, you're not going to get it every time, and that's as good as a turnover.
Well, this is going to be a challenge then right off the bat for this Wyoming defense returning so many guys. We broke into that last week, but this will be a big challenge for them, a big task. And, hey, I guess you ask a lot of football teams. I guess it depends on who you ask. You know, you see some of these monster colleges with cake schedules and things like that. But for Wyoming, you look at this and go, let's test ourselves against a solid offense and set us up and see kind of where we stack up. And that'll make it a little bit easier once we transition into Mountain West play in a few weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. And a huge tip of the cowboy hat to athletic director Tom Berman, man. He consistently brings quality programs into Laramie for the home fans. And you know, another tip of the cap to Texas Tech for doing it. We've seen Texas here, A&M here, Nebraska here. Oregon, the list goes on. So it's great to get them in your barn, and I know everybody's really excited about it. The Cowboys also traveled to Austin in week 3. So I know, I've talked to all these players and all these coaches for the last few months, and, you know, conference season is the focus, and it's not about not winning a non-conference. That's not the point, but they think they're going to be a much better team once conference play rolls around. And a big difference is you used to be able to view these games as kind of a body bag game, right? Like, oh, you know, you're going to collect your check and lick your wounds and go home. The Cowboys actually have a ton of depth across the board now. So it's not one of those where you're like, man, I hope we can get our check and not have any injuries. They have guys that are going to rotate in and out. And this is the deepest squad Craig Bowles had since he's been here.
Well, and Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. You know, the spread, depending on what you're looking at, is 14.5 for Texas Tech. Texas Tech's a 14.5-point favorite. That's not a crazy, like, I don't look at that and go, wow, people think Texas Tech is just going to annihilate the Cowboys.
Yeah, no. You know what? I alluded to it on my show earlier today. This really reminds me a lot of Missouri when they came to town in 2019. And we know a lot more about this Wyoming team than we did that one. And all they did was score 27 points in the second quarter and upset the Tigers and Kelly Bryant in his debut It was just, it really reminds me of that. Nobody's talking about the Cowboys. Everybody's talking about Tech. Everybody's talking about how is this their year when they finally can win the Big 12 and knock off K-State, knock off TCU, and hopefully send Texas and Oklahoma packing, you know, to the SEC. That's their goal. They're making no bones about it. I've watched countless hours of Texas Tech this week. I feel like I've been in their locker room. So they are making no bones about it. Their plan is to win the Big 12, and they have some really good players, man. I don't see why they couldn't, but I also, I've mentioned this before, I wouldn't fall out of my chair if the Wyoming Cowboys find a way to win this game.
Yeah, I kind of just looking at this and breaking into it a little bit more. Who knows? And again, we a lot of that's going to be made of, you know, that defensive side of the ball. But in our conversations the past couple of weeks, Cody, it seems like Wyoming obviously going to stay dedicated to the run, but they are certainly looking to throw the ball a little bit more. Yep. And I think that's going to be hopefully a pleasant surprise for Cowboys fans.
Yeah, and talking to Frank Crum this week, that is it. You know, they feel like they have improved across the board. They feel like this is the deepest wide receiver group they've had. They pulled in two guys from the transfer portal that they're really excited about. But he said, make no bones about it, we're gonna blow across that line and crack some skulls. And you know, the Red Raiders gave up 170 yards a game on the ground last year. They gave up nearly 300 through the air. So they were, I believe, 107th in the country last year out of 130 then, you know, FBS teams. So they give up, like most Big 12 teams, they give up their fair share of points and their fair share of yards. So I think the Cowboys really feel confident that they can push them around on the line, and they have some studs on the line. They have a couple of 305-pound guys anchoring that defensive front, and they definitely have some outside linebackers. This Miles Cat is replacing Tyree Wilson, who went number 7 overall to the Raiders in last spring's NFL draft. They think he can be even better. He's got a longer wingspan. He's faster. He is a scary-looking specimen. And Tim DeRuiter, who Mountain West fans remember from Air Force and Fresno State, he's the defensive coordinator down there in Lubbock. And he coached a guy by the name of Von Miller, and he coached another guy, Kayvon Thibodeau, at Oregon. He knows what a good outside linebacker looks like.
Cody Tucker joining us, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. Cody, what are the realistic expectations there in Wyoming for this team? I mean, are they thinking, hey, we're going to compete for a Mountain West title, a bowl game would be great, or what are the folks around Wyoming saying about this Cowboys team?
Well, if you listen to the fans, I mean, pessimism runs rampant. I mean, it just does, and I get it. You know, like I've said on your show before, what would CSU fans give to have 7, 6, 7, 8 wins a year? And up here, it's getting stagnant, and people are ready. It's year 10 of Craig Bowles' run here in Laramie, and people are, you know, definitely pessimistic, but they're ready. They're ready to be proven wrong. You know, you see all these NFL guys that keep coming out of Laramie, and they're not turning that into championships while they're here. And that is a frustration, but I think people are very confident in this defense that they can do something. I think they're always confident in the running game. It's just the passing game, and it's Andrew Peasley. And I fully believe, Brady, that we're going to see a different Andrew Peasley. He gained 12 pounds. He ditched the right knee brace that was hampering him last year. He feels better than ever. He just got married. He's a father now. His maturity's off the charts, and his teammates absolutely love him and rally around him. So I really expect to see him running the ball more. I expect him even more so to be scrambling around the pocket and making some plays, getting out of some trouble. And you know, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Neon Deion himself. You're not covering guys for 8 to 10 seconds. So if he can scramble around, move his feet, some guys can get open and make some plays downfield.
All right, Cody, before we let you go, I mean, are you a big prediction guy? How do you think this thing's going down? Does Wyoming potentially pull off an upset?
Yeah, I'm not a huge prediction guy, but, you know, I've been going with this Missouri theme because it just feels so much like it, and even the players agree with that they're just not even being talked about at all. That game was 37-31 Cowboys. I'm going to say it's 37-31 Cowboys, and it's going to look just like it was then. Missouri was coming right down the field. They were at about the 20, fourth down. Alberto's wide open down the middle. Kelly Bryant doesn't even see him. Throws it into double coverage, incomplete. Cowboys win. That's what I'm going with.
That's going to be wild, man. Hey, I hope you're right there. I would love to see all these teams get off to a great start this weekend, my friend.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I know Wazoo, that's going to be a big game down there, too. I'm really interested in keeping an eye on that one. I want to see if CSU's offensive line has improved at all. So definitely excited to watch that one, too.
Yeah. Cody Tucker, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Brady. Talk to you soon, man.
Cody is our Wyoming Cowboys insider with 7220sports.com. 1:34 the time. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get into some more on the Denver Broncos, the big cut day, thoughts there, concerns, all that and more coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back in. I want to shout out to Shields. I think we have a big event coming up. September 11th. Excited about that. A little Rocky Mountain Showdown stuff there at Shields. So I'll give you more details as we progress there. But Shields is, they got everything, man. You know, for my kid, he loves the Lego store, the toy store area. You know, for me, you got a lot of the sports memorabilia, shirts, things like that, workout equipment. And my wife loves it, too. They actually, in a mix there, they got your clothing area, you got your hunting stuff, but then the upstairs is like a home, kind of a home decor type area. And it's just, they got everything. I'm just amazed when you walk in, they got a restaurant in there that you can eat at. It's awesome. That's Shields in Johnstown. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I'm really interested to see just how this roster comes together for the Broncos at this point, because it just, I'm a little concerned. You know, I brought this up to start the show. Sean Payton has been a little strange with the kicking thing. Apparently, Will Lutz was on their radar for a long time. He's gotten progressively worse throughout his career. And that is a scary situation for me. And that's your kicker. And, I mean, we don't talk a lot about kicking, but it's important. We know that. We know it. These games are so close anymore, Angel. We were talking about the Broncos games being so close last year. A lot of times those come down to a field goal or two. And you're going with a guy that's certainly on a decline in his career. Last year, let's see, up close, pretty good. I mean, he was 6 for 6 inside the 30, 20 and 20, 29-yard line. 9 and 11 at 30 to 39 yards away. 4 and 8 from 40 and 49 yards. 40 through 49, excuse me. 4 of 6 from 50-plus. I mean, it's not like atrocious there, but Angel, on a given season, like how many field goals do kickers actually miss? They don't really miss that many. Even the bad ones don't miss that many. It usually comes down to 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9.
Sure, and if you don't have full confidence in your kicker, it can affect your entire team. It affects your offense, and that, hey, we have to make sure we get to this yard line at least. For a defense, it's, oh, we got to hold him because we can maybe only get 3 points on this next drive. We got to hold him here and try to keep this as close as possible. So it affects the whole, you know, most of the team, I think.
Well, it's like when if you're playing against Baltimore, you know, okay, we don't have a lot of room for error here. That guy is going to be able to drill a lot of 50-plus yard field goals. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a weapon right now for the Broncos. So I'm not crazy about how they've gone about this. So far on the depth side, I mean, they're trying to add more wide receivers here to the practice squad, but the Broncos haven't done much here in terms of fixing that position that has been decimated by injuries. With Tim Patrick going down, with Jalen Virgil, who I'm not going to sit here and pretend that we all were like, oh, Jalen Virgil's going to be great, but he was depth. I mean, you're looking at Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims Jr. and Brandon Johnson and Jerry Jeudy when he comes back. So, like, right now, week one, you got Sutton and Mims and Brandon Johnson. And then they added Dorsett to the practice squad. That is, what are we doing here? Surely this is going to get a little more, surely we're going to get a little more aggressive here. Is this another, what do I call it, Angel? Is this another red flag for Sean Payton and George Payton, I guess? It's not just on Sean. It's George's job.
I mean, George can go to Sean and say, hey, do you want a receiver? Do you need, guys need some help? And Sean could be like, nah, I think we're good. And, you know, if Sean feels comfortable with those four guys and that they can run their offense effectively with them, and I mean, I'm not going to question the coach, but it's certainly a question mark. Like
these are obvious things. You got to have a better depth chart here.
Sure. I mean, if I know Jerry's on hurt, but when he comes back, number one corner on the defense is going to cover him more than likely than Sutton, at least until Sutton can develop that until Judy comes back. So who is your biggest threat? Who is the defense going to try to take away first?
And if Sutton, who's had a history of injuries, goes down, you're in trouble, dude. You're like, they're in trouble. Okay, how many receivers do teams typically carry, Angel? Like,
I'd say five or six.
Yeah, it's five or six. And
you want to have your three starters, and you want to have two depth pieces, and then an emergency guy.
And now you're looking at a situation here where if one guy goes down, now I know the day's not over, but they didn't claim anybody off of waivers. The Broncos didn't.
They look at one of their tight ends as maybe a big slot guy.
Greg Dulcich, you're going to try to use him more? I mean, it's perplexing to me. It's 144.
Where would you line up Courtland Sutton?
Outside. Yeah, and I think Judy, they're going to line up outside too when he's back because they kind of saw that worked last year. I think they tried to line him up in the slot, but he made some more plays on the outside.
To run routes.
Yeah, I don't see him as a going over the middle kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I could see Greg Dulcich lining up in the slot a few times. I mean, that would make sense to me. I mean, you got three running backs. Now, I did just see that they signed Beatty back to the Tyler. Is it Batty or Beatty? I've been saying it both ways. I've been screwing up names this week. They signed him back to the practice squad. But look at this depth chart. Running back. Javonte Williams just came off of an injury that ended his season last year. Samaje Perine, a career backup kind of guy, but I like him.
He can play.
And Jaleel McLaughlin, a rookie, undrafted. That's your depth chart at tailback for this team. If Javonte goes down, what the hell are you doing? And so then you look at the wide receiver position, same kind of deal.
Does Sean Payton strike you as a guy that's kind of like, all right, we'll wait and see. If something happens, we'll make a move. But right now, we're just going to keep going.
Well, and maybe. But then it's like, why Will Lutz? You had Brandon McManus on this roster. Gone. Then they bring in Maher. Gone. Elliott Fry. Bye. We have gone through three kickers since Sean Payton has taken over as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. That is a major red flag. And I do, yeah, maybe he's the kind of guy that's like, eh, next man up. But you're running out of next men up.
I'm running out of days to get those next men up and ready to go.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here, I'm following like Zach Stevens' Twitter, a lot of these other guys. They got a lot of guys on practice squad. What is it, you can carry 16?
16, yeah.
They filled that already, I believe. So that's good, at least. Oh, David Stills is signing with the Broncos to their practice squad. Why not just sign guys? Like, is it just put them on your practice squad and then you're gonna bring one guy up and see if he's any good?
Yeah, I imagine that. You'll have these two or the next week and a half to get these guys some reps in practice, get a look at them some on film, and then Sunday morning you activate one of them and you just go.
Yeah. I mean, they got two
guys. You'd have to deactivate somebody off the 53 roster.
Yeah, you have to figure out kind of like who.
Okay, maybe our number six corner is not going to dress today. So
what's your depth look like at center? You have Lloyd Cushenberry, Luke Wattenberg, and Alex Forsythe. You have three centers there. You probably don't need three. But he must be an emergency guy because you're...
Or he's just a swing backup player.
And you're hopeful that Cushenberry works out. But is that a position where you're a little too deep in? But you don't really have a backup for Ben Powers. So, kind of crazy. What's going on out there? See that?
Some kind of sirens I'm hearing.
It's kind of crazy with these windows. We can look out and see traffic.
Fire truck going westbound on 10th.
Everybody be careful. Be careful out there. They're pretty deep at left defensive end. Frank Clark, Jonathan Harris, and Matt Henningsen. You start looking at the depth. You got a lot of third stringers on the defensive side of the ball, so they want to be deep there. 48 minutes after the hour. Time will tell, and we got two receivers signed onto the practice squad for the Broncos, so I'm guessing they'll want to evaluate them and see who's the best of the two who can make this roster and play against the Raiders. Coming up in about a week and a half or so. Yeah, a week and a half. All right, what do we learn coming up next? It's the whole show powered by PDC, powered by Chevron. Almost got through 3 days on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks, no more jokes, just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 30th day of August? I learned a few things. I learned from Cody on the Wyoming side of things. Watch out for Andrew Peasley, and should we be on upset watch between Wyoming and Texas Tech this weekend? It's a 14.5 point spread. Could the Cowboys win that game? Watch out for Andrew Peasley. We learned that he could be a pretty solid quarterback there up north. Andrew, what'd you learn today?
I learned from Mark Johnson that maybe he's not. He's a little more realistic about the Buffs.
Mark
than most
is, yeah.
Are. Granted, he is the voice of the Buffs, so he has to be a little neutral about it. But he watches practice every day. I'm going to listen to him more than I listen to some talking head on TV that maybe watched a highlight reel on Twitter.
So, yeah, he's not going all in one way or the other. Mark's not. I mean,
he's telling you there's a lot of question marks. What's this going to look like? He doesn't even know, and he's the one calling the games.
Right.
So.
And it's, a lot of what I've heard is in the trenches, was there enough attention paid to this Buffs team, defensive line and offensive line? And that's just what I've heard or read or whatever.
And depth.
And that's where it starts, man. How many coaches do we talk? I mean, CSU, big emphasis, offensive line. UNC, big emphasis, meaning they got big boys up front.
They took defensive players and put them on the offensive line.
Yeah, just block. Just make a wall for us, man. So, did CU do those things? I'm not there, and I'm not. We talk to Mark every week, and we catch up with Brian and stuff. But there's only so much you can get until we see a game. Because practice, they're just not going to give you everything. Even if you're at practice every single day, there's a good chance you still don't know what this team is going to be. You know the names, you know the big names. But that was our Tight-Knit Brewing poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Will CU beat TCU this weekend? And that is a 20.5 point spread on that side of
things. Surprised that line hasn't moved at all.
Not even a little bit. Yeah, I am surprised. I am surprised, but it hasn't. It's been that way for a while now, huh?
Mm-hmm. I thought I could see it maybe go to like 17.5, but I mean, maybe Vegas is just like, we have no idea.
I seriously think that's the case with the Buffs, man. Zero ideas. Shador is a great name, and he did amazing at Jackson State.
St. Jackson State.
But it's different. And TCU is different. They're not FCS teams. This is the team that went to the national championship a year ago. They're still going to be a good team. I don't know how good, but I think TCU will be a good team. All right, that's going to do it for us. We've got, tomorrow we'll get into it, man. UNC Bears start their season. The Ed Lamb era begins tomorrow night. And we'll be here for it. We'll see if we can get a lot of our Bears insiders on the program. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.